Alright, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of our Lord. When Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "Is it not written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God'?" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended. This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today on this last Sunday in February, we kick off the first Sunday in the season of Lent. It's kind of funny, as I was getting ready, as I was reviewing my sermon a little bit before the sermon, or before the service, I was looking at the introduction and saw that I had pointed out that it's the first Sunday of Lent, and it suddenly occurred to me that we hadn't changed any of the parents. So I ran in here thinking to Terry and Bailey and Betty for helping me get everything ready, getting everything switched over in here so that it looks like Lent. But this season of Lent that we started this past week is one that we go through every single year. And there are lots of different approaches to the season of Lent. Lent is a time of fasting. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of introspection for many. It's a time of spiritual devotion to God. During the season of Lent, we look at passages such as this one from Matthew, of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't know about you, but I always have to chuckle when I read the verse, "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Well, duh. Wouldn't you be hungry if you didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights? It's so obvious, but yet at the same time, sometimes you have to state the obvious. But we have this season of Lent that lasts the period of time that it does because of these 40 days and nights. And because of Jesus fasting during that time, we tend to enter into a time of fast. Not completely from food, I hope, but from one thing or another. Maybe you have specific days of the week that you fast during Lent. Maybe you're fasting from one particular food or one particular activity or whatever it is. And during the season of Lent, we are often focused on mortality, which is it's a part of the season. We start off the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. And hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return." That's a real uplifting message, isn't it? It's a true message. And it's an important way to start the season of Lent. But I'd like to offer today the possibility that Lent doesn't always have to be a time of sorrow and a time of thinking about mortality and a time of everything being dull and dreary. Lent is one of those seasons that has been a part of the church ever since the very beginning. I can't remember if it was the first generation of the church or the second generation, if it was the apostles
the students of the apostles that started celebrating Lent. I think it was the generation of the apostles that started celebrating Lent. All the way back at the beginning of the church. And they used this time of Lent definitely as this time of introspection, this time of fasting, but it was also a time of preparation. In the early church, and still in some parts of the church today, Lent was a time for those who had accepted Christ to prepare for being baptized, to prepare for entry fully into the body of the church and the life of the church. The reason that there was fasting, the reason that there was time for devotion was because it was their time to decide, is this really what I believe? Because it's important to remember that becoming a member of the church in the first, second, and third centuries was not as simple as taking a few vows in front of the congregation on Sunday morning and then having a standing appointment every Sunday morning. Becoming a member of the church in those first few centuries meant signing your own death warrant. It meant putting your life on the line, being willing to give it all up for the sake of your faith. This was not an easy decision to make. So during this time of Lent, it was a time for them to decide, is this truly what I believe before I make this public declaration and paint a target on my back, which very well might cost me my life. So you can see the seriousness of Lent, but also what Lent is an opportunity for. Do you know why we fast? Not just during Lent, but in general. Do you know what the purpose of fasting is? Anybody? This is the congregational participation part. What's the purpose of fasting? Is it so that you can go on a diet and lose a few pounds? What's the purpose of fasting? Denial of self. Okay, why? Yes. Fasting is an opportunity to draw closer to God, to learn to rely on Him. If you've ever been really hungry, anyone ever been really hungry? Am I the only one that's been really hungry? Has anyone ever been really hungry? Yes. You all should be waving your hands unless you just don't get hungry. If you've ever been really hungry, when you are really, really, really hungry, are you necessarily in the best of moods? No. That's where the term hangry came from. When you get really hungry, it becomes hard to function. When you deprive yourself of nourishment, or are deprived of nourishment, if it's not your decision, it becomes hard to think. It can become hard to keep. It can be hard to even do the things that you have to do to get through the day. So when we choose to fast, when we choose to deny ourselves, whether it's from food or from anything else, about that fourth or fifth hour in, all we're really going to want is a good cheeseburger. Or a slice of pizza or something. And we have the option in that moment to break our fast and say, well, I tried. This isn't cut out for me. Or we can choose to lean on the Lord. Fasting is an opportunity for us to learn to totally rely on God. To totally rely on God. Do you know that Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is not the first instance in the Bible of fasting for 40 days? I can think of at least two other times in Scripture where an individual fasted for 40 days. They didn't eat anything. One was Moses, the other was Elijah. Do you know why they didn't need to eat at all during those 40 days? It's because they were in the very presence of God. God sustained them. Fasting is a time to draw near to God. It is a time to learn to allow God to sustain. And we're going to be tempted. If we're fasting from food, we're going to be tempted to pick up that little snack cake or cracker or whatever it is. But not all fasts have to be from food. You know this. We've talked about it every Lent. At least as long as I've been here, and if I know how it goes, every pastor in your lifetime, as long as you've been a part of a church that practices Lent, has talked about the fact that you don't have to only fast from food. Whatever you're choosing to fast on, you're going to be tempted to break that fast. It's going to happen. When you're tempted, we are to follow the example of Jesus here in the wilderness. What was Jesus' response when he was tempted? First of all, let's look at this first temptation. Tell these stones to become bread. Any of you have the ability to take a stone and turn it into bread? I'm going to guess not. Now really, you know, Jesus could have done it if he wanted to, and he is God after all. But Satan was targeting his most basic need, his hunger. Okay, so this is the fasting test. Pass. Then we have the second and third temptations. Trying to give Jesus an easy way out. What was Jesus' response to all of it? What was his response to temptation? Okay, those of you who have a Bible, I see a couple of you. What was Jesus' response to temptation? What did he do? I heard a whisper. You can speak up. Somebody? Anybody? Are y'all awake out there?
He said that we're not to test the Lord.
We're not to test the Lord. He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What is Jesus doing here other than quoting Scripture? What's he doing? He's relying on the Lord. He's relying on his Father. He's relying on the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was tempted, he didn't go at it alone. He didn't try to conquer this of his own strength. He relied on the Lord. When we are tempted, whether it's being tempted to break fast or being tempted to do something we know we're not supposed to do. When we are tempted, we are to follow the example of Jesus and draw near to the God. It's draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, then we'll find that the burden of temptation isn't as strong as we thought it was. Or it's not as strong as it was before. Jesus will share that load. And he'll even take it off your shoulders altogether if you ask him to.
If you try to do it on your own, you will fail. But when you draw near to the Lord, then you can carry any burden, any weight. The psalmist David, when he wrote Psalm 32, said, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, whose sins the Lord does not count against them." And he goes on to talk about the unfailing love of God and the ways in which the Lord holds you up. Brothers and sisters, if you have confessed your sins to God, then you are forgiven. And if you're forgiven, then according to King David, you are blessed. In the words of King David, you are blessed. For the Lord does not count your sins against you. And when you're tempted to fall again, whether it's a little sin or a catastrophic one, in our eyes, in God's eyes, it's all the same. When you're tempted, lean on the Lord. Because He's the only one who can get you. So during this season of Lent, I'm going to encourage you, whatever spiritual discipline you decide on, if you decide on a spiritual discipline at all, you can give something up, you can add something, you can add a discipline. But whatever it is, during this season of Lent, use this as a time to draw near to God. And one of the things that I've heard all week, and especially on Wednesday, is how fitting it is that this outpouring in Wilmore happened right before the season. You know, what's been happening in Wilmore the last couple weeks, what's still happening all around this country, I'm seeing more and more posts about outpourings of the Holy Spirit in different places around this country. But this outpouring that has been happening has been God reaching down to His children saying, "Draw near to me, come and rest in my arms. You don't have to handle your stress and anxiety alone. You don't have to carry that burden alone. That temptation, that guilt, that shame. Let me have it. Let me take that burden off of you." And now we go into the season of Lent, which is a dedicated time each year to draw close to God. How fitting. Over these next several weeks, as we prepare for Easter, draw close to God. He's there. He's here in this space. He's with you when you wake up in the morning, when you get in your car to drive to wherever you have to go for the day. He's with you when you lay down again at night. And He is saying, "Draw near to me, my daughter, my son, my child. Draw near to me." Let us draw near to the Lord.